In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Two Sundays ago, Sunday of Orthodoxy, seems like longer ago than that, doesn't it? We exclaimed that the Orthodox faith was proclaimed in word and deed and in sacred images. And for the Christian, there can be no more sacred, no more universal image than the Holy Cross. St. Paul says that the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Notice he said, for us who are being saved, not for those of y'all who are saved. So we are being saved. Continuous process. Actually, you know, there are some Christians who consider any representation of the cross idolatrous. They don't have crosses in their churches. No cross. We would say this is the diametric opposition, the absolute opposite, the height of iconoclasm, since the image of the cross for Orthodox Christians is in many ways the perfect icon. It's a good example of iconography. It's a good example to use when we discuss the place of icons in our worship, in our spirituality. We have two pieces of wood. They're just two pieces of wood. But when you put them together in a special way, they create a sacred image loaded with theology. An icon that is truly worthy of veneration. And of course, when we bow and worship before that image, we are not worshiping the wood of the cross. We are worshiping the God-man, Jesus Christ, who died on that cross for us. Like when we worship, when we venerate an icon, we're not venerating wood and paint, we're not worshiping the wood and paint. Our veneration goes to the prototype. It's what's in our heart counts. There are other Christians who don't shun the cross. They'll wear a cross, they'll have a cross in the church. But they would not have the image of Christ on the cross, saying that their faith focuses on the resurrected Jesus, the living Jesus, not the dying Jesus, the suffering Jesus, or the lifeless Jesus. Muslims even teach that Jesus was not crucified. Did you know that? But just as the cross marks the center of Lent, because we're right in the middle of Lent now, third Sunday, the crucified Savior is at the center of our theology. St. Paul said in his letter to the Corinthians, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." The cross is the crux of our faith. If you know Latin, crux means what? Cross. Well, round words there. The cross is the crux of our faith. Without the cross, there's no resurrection. We had a visitor last night, and he said, "Oh, the service was so beautiful when we brought the cross out." And he said, "You know, I'm going to come to that midnight service that you have." And I said, "Be sure to come to the Friday service too, because one without the other is, I don't know, there's a lot missing there." Without the cross, there's no reconciliation of fallen man to God. St. Gregory of Nyssa said, "He who knew no sin is made sin for us and frees us from the curse by taking on himself our curse as his own." This is what happened at the crucifixion. The humility of Christ, God incarnate, maker of heaven and earth, is the focus of Orthodox theology, the Orthodox theology of the crucifixion. St. Paul, again, and he was the great theologian of the cross, I've come to realize in the research for this sermon. St. Paul wrote to the Philippians, Christ, humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. We see this humility in the iconography and in the hymnography of Holy Week, where Christ becomes the bridegroom. But instead of going to the bridal chamber, instead of going to the wedding feast, he goes to be mocked before Pilate. And instead of going to the bridal chamber, what's the bridal chamber? That's the honeymoon suite. What was his honeymoon suite? Dark tomb. This is extreme humility for God incarnate. And at the end of Holy Week, the throne for the King of Heaven and Earth becomes what? The cross. Not the, the Jews, the Romans, the Jews wanted to. The Romans were afraid that Christ would come and sit on the earthly throne and take over the kingdom. Earthly kingdom, no. His throne becomes the cross. And the crucified Christ becomes what? We call him the King of Glory. Have you ever noticed on that, on our cross and on most Orthodox crucifixes, it doesn't say King of the Jews, it says the King of Glory. More theology. This cross, as St. Paul calls it, and we heard it today in the epistle, is the throne of grace. The great kenosis, which is a Greek word which means self-emptying, the great self-emptying of God, who lowered himself so much as to assume flesh, to lie in a manger, dirty feed trough with animals, to endure mockery, suffering, death, and crucifixion, to lie in a dark tomb, this self-emptying of God, this is our example, not only for salvation, but also for happiness in this life. Well, that's kind of macabre, isn't it? Well, but we know, psychologists say, the happiest people on earth are the ones that what? Live not for themselves. They live for others. Without the cross, the trials of this life really are, for many people, unbearable. So we know what God did for us. How do we respond? The answer is given in today's gospel. Quoting from St. Mark, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Two chapters further into the Gospel of St. Mark, Jesus tells the rich young ruler, what does he tell him? One thing that you lack, go your way, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and, what does he say? Take up your cross and follow me. Elsewhere in Matthew, 10th chapter of Matthew, he says, he who loves father or mother, and this is very difficult to hear, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Which mirrors what we heard in St. Mark's Gospel today. Whoever loses his life for my sake in the Gospels will save it. And when our daily crosses become too heavy to bear, we should, if not literally, at least in our hearts, we should fall down before the cross, remembering the beautiful words of St. Paul from today's epistle. And I think this is one of the most beautiful, eloquent, poetic things that St. Paul wrote. So quoting from today's epistle, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore boldly come to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Before thy cross, the throne of grace, we bow and worship, O Master." Amen.